Freedom Files. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7.
And Saturdays from 9 to 11.
Central. On American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to the show. You are listening to Freedom Files. Live 3 days a week right here on American Freedom Radio, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7 Central, and of course the Saturday night show from 9 to 11. And we are joined now for, I guess, the duration of the show until these guys feel like leaving by Vinny Eastwood and Will Ryan from the Vinny Eastwood Show. Hey guys, how's it going?
What's going on, Cap?
Not much. We're just hanging out, doing our thing on Thursday afternoon. Or,
Tuesday.
Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Okay, I'm ahead of my... I'm so far ahead. Yeah, that's
we
right.
I'm ahead. It is Wednesday, 10 past 10 a.m. We are broadcasting live from the future, baby.
Yeah. Freaky.
They might be on Mars time, Vinny, on Thursday.
Okay, so this is the first thing I want. I want you guys, in a couple hours from now, to give me a call and tell me what our Powerball numbers are.
There you
go. Since you guys are in the future. And that way, you know, I'll split it with you guys.
I like that.
10% commission, huh?
That's right. All right. First off, before we get started, let's go into kind of the backstory, the origins of you guys. So I'll let Vinny go first, and then Will, you can follow him.
Well, I used to come from the sales world, and in corporate culture, when you lied to the customer, your profit margins went up. And I kind of had a little bit of difficulty dealing with that because I wasn't getting the majority of the profit margins. Aha! And so, after getting abused at work, I decided that I would get the hell out of the game. I couldn't go and get another job at all. I had panic attacks at job interviews. And I guess it was because everything was wrong and I didn't want to be a part of it anymore. So I got out a camera and I started going out to protests and interviewing the activists in the general New Zealand community. And whilst at the same time listening to a lot of American Patriot radio. And it turns out that the exact same things that are happening in the United States are happening in New Zealand and everywhere. In New Zealand, supposedly having more activists per capita, I think if we can start the revolution here, get those New World Order slime kicked to the curb with a boot in their teeth, preferably, it might inspire the fabulous people of the United States to rise up with us and take them down, your little neighbors from down under, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Ah. So, Will, what's your origin story?
Well, without going too far, I guess, whilst I was a student at an engineering student at Air New Zealand, aircraft engineering, I saw Loose Change, the first edition, and that was in 2005, and I saw a bit of Loose Change anyway, and then I went on the internet straight away, investigated it, bought a couple of DVDs. The first DVD I saw was Alex Jones's one, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. And I kind of thought it was out in the troposphere and a little bit wild and crazy, but interesting nonetheless. And I just started researching from there, and over the next couple of years, I researched a whole lot more. And then in 2007, with the help of John Eisen from Uncensored magazine, New Zealand, did a little protest in a one of our little free speech corners where they free speech pens where we can dare to speak above the masses.
Nice catering opportunity.
Yeah, in Auckland Central. So we had a little 9/11 protest there, and then it sort of started from there, and met a few people, came across Vinny on YouTube, hooked up with Vinny doing videos and going and confronting scumbags around the streets. So yeah. And here we are, still trying to confront more and more scumbags with a bigger megaphone, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I think
of late, it's been different. We've been encountering less scumbags and more wonderful people and bringing them on air to the show. And for me, it's drastically changed my perspective on life. I'm now not hearing about what the enemy's doing. I'm now hearing what my allies are doing. It's strange. It almost messes with my head.
We need to find some more villains, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes,
What is a superhero without a villain? Like, what would Batman be without Joker or the Penguin or Two-Face? I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate because you it's
He'd
better
be
to focus
a weird
on
guy in a suit.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to focus on, you know, the good deeds that Batman does, you know, saving the little people, instead of focusing so much on the big, you know, villains and their dastardly deeds to blow up the city. But yeah, I just think that's part of human's mindset. They like a villain in some weird twisted way.
It's true.
It's one of our childhood upbringings that there's bad guys, and they're all through the movies and all through the media. There's all these Al-Qaeda out there, white Al-Qaeda, and they're going to tell your children not to take vaccines too. You know?
I mean, in New Zealand, in Auckland, we have our own version of the Penguin, don't we, Vinny? In John Banks. He's a mayoral Freemason, and he resembles the Penguin, does he not?
He does, and he has
a machine gun umbrella.
And when he walks, he has a slight waddle.
Yeah, you know how like a year ago when they came out with all those Obama Joker posters. The truth is, I never really saw Obama as the Joker. I see kind of like W as the Joker. But the truth is, Obama, in my opinion, if you want to go into the rogue gallery of Batman, I think I see him more like Two-Face.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, he does have that handful of little voodoo charms, just like Two-Face had his coin.
Yeah.
To decide what he wanted to do with himself. And I think that people sometimes they cling to these talismans, these physical representations here on Earth. And it turns out that a lot of these things where you try to externalize the concept of God and holiness, it's all Luciferian, designed to make you look outwards for your spiritual energy and your strength rather than inwards, where it is replenishable and regeneration.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Vinny might be the Riddler.
the Riddler.
I'm kidding.
I certainly do joke around a lot.
Yeah, yeah, but which one's Ra's al Ghul though? Yeah, I guess one of the Rockefellers is Ra's al Ghul, or maybe the Queen.
Who would be Mr. Freeze? Then it would be Al Gore.
Well, on behalf of everybody here, I'd like to apologize to Mr. Freeze for insulting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
He's only Freeze. Bipolar. We have to excuse him for that.
Tolerance is key, people.
To the man bear pig himself, the crazed sex. Oh, man.
You know what's funny about Al Gorsy, right? Is he bought beachfront property with his carbon tax profits?
Oh yeah,
beachfront property.
Apartments in San Francisco, the very same San Francisco where he had a digital wave thing come over it on his presentation, saying that it's all going to be underwater, and then he goes and buys property that's right there.
He wants to have the new Atlantis, Vinny. You see.
Now, either he's a very unwise investor, or it's just a big freaking scam.
Well, that's what it is, man. I mean, I've been saying it all along. He's the snake oil salesman of the 21st century. I mean, look back in the 90s. This is a perfect example. He was on all the mainstream media back in the 90s, pimping NAFTA along with Al Gore and Newt Gingrich, and now he's pushing this, you know, global warming scam. It just shows you exactly what this guy is all about.
Yeah, they don't change, eh? It's just one New World Order issue to the next, stone to stone.
Yeah, it's just it reminds me of, you know, the old Westerns where all these snake oil salesmen going around from town to town with their elixirs. Like, this is going to cure your baldness and help your libido and everything.
Oh,
and
you know it, what? Isn't that what Rockefeller's ancestors did, man? Like, he actually was like the snake oil salesman who franchised snake oil salesmanry, all right? He came into town and he'd scam everybody with the snake oil salesman skills and stuff, right? And then he decided, hey, it's actually kind of hard work going in and scamming each town by myself. What I'll do is I'll recruit a whole cadre of other snake oil salesmen, and then I can scam whole states at a time. And you wouldn't believe how much wealth he amassed from scamming the old West, and he turned out that he really wanted to get into the oil industry. The same oil industry, of course, U.S. Standard Oil, that the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force, could not get off the ground without the patents from U.S. Standard Oil, which he allowed them.
Yeah, Jeff just looked into it. What did you say it was? William?
Yeah, William Avery Rockefeller. Actually was a traveling snake oil salesman. Called him Big Bill.
Big Bill!
Big Bill Rockefeller! Could be like Wild Bill Hickok, you know, just walks into town with his six shooters, you know, just starts camping off people, you know. Just total psychopathic Nazi. I'm going to come in and I'm going to rule your town, boy. What you got to say about it? I'm Big Bill Rockefeller. This town ain't big enough for anything other than eugenicists.
It would be a lot easier right now if it was a Western setting.
Yeah, I know. At least you could go lynch him, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old West justice.
Yeah. Hey, all our problems would be over by high noon.
Exactly.
Hey, you know why they always battle in high noon? Because it's the only time of the day where you don't cast a shadow.
They like shadows, though, don't they?
Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of a myth. I mean, that's what, you know, was sold by the...
Yeah,
you know,
it was a bit of a myth.
Yeah, you know, but the John Wayne films, you go, I tell you what, I'm big old John Wayne.
Thank you, little lady.
Little lady. But most of the time, I think it was in the morning that they actually, I think Back to the Future had it right. I think it was during like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning is when a lot of the duels happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it always happens at high noon. Yeah. Just like X always marks the spot.
Yeah, X always does mark the spot.
Yeah. Well, it would seem timely.
You know, that would be a good test to see how stupid people are and how programmed and brainwashed you are. Go into a park and get some red paint and paint a big X and set up a camera, you know, in the bushes and see how long it takes for people to run up with shovels and start digging.
Well, you'd have to have like a big sign that says gold here, dig. That's, you know, really like one of the Wile E. Coyote signs from the Looney Tunes of old, you know. And just watch all these cartoon-esque fluoride head cultured degrees of protoplasm wobbling around like a fleet of interstate buses, trying to grapple their shovels and pitchforks, attempting to scurry around for the last remaining fragments of gold as the New World Order supermarkets line up with people. Oh.
I've got a more cruel idea. You could just have an X over covering a pit. You know, you lay some thin boards over a pit.
Ten-fold.
See how many you can catch.
I like that.
Yeah. I got a big giant cardboard box of like a stick, and you put like a plate of a McDonald's Big Mac. You know, it'd be a nice little trap for them.
There you go.
For all the cheap old jellyfish, whatever you want to call them. Oh, really? We should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, look, a cheeseburger. The cardboard box falls on top of them. Hey, how do I get out of here? I'm trapped. Call 911. They'll taser you. Oh, man.
No, well, I guarantee you that's happened in a house somewhere in America. Honey, if you don't do the dishes, I'm going to call the cops and they're going to taser you.
Did you guys see that video like last week of that woman that pulls up wanting some chicken McNuggets, and it's breakfast, and they said we're not serving chicken McNuggets till like 10:30 in the morning, and she goes ballistic.
Nice.
She gets out of her car and she starts attacking the lady that's working in the window and stuff.
It's all them steroids they put in those chicken nuggets, man. They get that look. That's what it is.
I mean, I don't understand the mentality. Serum. I mean, chicken McNuggets, they suck. I mean,
yeah, when you want one, you want one, I guess.
I mean, there's other stuff on the menu, other crap you can put in your body for McDonald's besides chicken McNuggets, and this one just went nuts.
Hey, I want sausage bacon. I want chicken.
She just completely...
This video on YouTube I saw, some huge guy wants his chicken. I think it's his fat man wants chicken or something like that on YouTube. And he freaks out at everyone, like starts like, you know, throwing things around and like it's just amazing, you know, like they get angry, they get real angry if like, you know, the neighbor's dog craps on their lawn or their chicken's not delivered on time. But then when the government taxes, you know, 60% of their wages and uses it to poison them and run black ops programs on them, they just go, oh, well, what can I do?
Exactly. And, you know, that's another point I'd like to bring up. I mean, that's a very valid point because, okay, last night on Facebook, one of the people in the local Tea Party that I know, she's a hardcore Republican, okay? And she puts this, you know, thing in the status message about how there should be a law that, you know, forces you to put either Republican or Democrat, like, on your house so that the crooks know who to rob. And my reply was, well, what crooks are we talking about? I mean, if you're referring to the ones that wear nice suits in D.C. and Wall Street, well, they're robbing from everybody, so it doesn't matter which WWE club you belong to.
Yeah. And she wouldn't like that, would she? She'd be like, other
I bet she didn't like that, but you know what? So what?
Hey, reality is a bitter taste, and it is also an acquired taste.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's too strong for most people.
It is.
Like black coffee.
Yeah. My dad's a big black coffee guy. He hates having anything in it. Every time, you know, we're out eating, you know, and the waitress, you know, brings up all the little sweeteners and milk and the sugars, he's like, no thanks. I like my coffee black. I'm like, okay, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, looking at the Madea thing, and they actually say aspartame on the packets in the cafes here. Right? And I was thinking, I wonder how long it's going to take them to realize that, hey, aspartame's not a good name, and put it on the new brand name, Amino Sweet.
Yeah.
You know, they just name everything different if it's a real bad thing.
951, 950.
Exactly. And that's funny. That's a funny story, too, because last night I went to the grocery store, and I was looking for some ice cream, you know, because I was in an ice cream mood. And I started, you know, going through each box of each one. And every time, high fructose corn syrup, I pick up another one, another brand, high fructose corn syrup. I spent like 20 minutes doing this. I'm like, golly, it's all over the place.
No choice.
It's so hard to not get poisoned. I had this conversation with my missus the other day, you know, she does the shopping and she brings home all this random stuff, you know, that I haven't seen before. And she says, oh, this one's real healthy, this one's... And I read the label and it's like, you know, high fructose corn syrup or like aspartame. There's always something in it, right? And it makes it such an effort to not get poisoned. No wonder everybody's getting cancer. No wonder everybody's getting obese. No wonder everybody can't think about anything but depressing thoughts and death culture. I mean, my goodness, you are what you eat, and what we eat has become somewhat restricted.
But then when you say this to people, and good-willed people, that and they can't argue your facts, they just go, oh, life must be so difficult for you. like we're in some different reality to them.
Yeah, don't cry for me, Argentina, by any means. If you want to cry for somebody, cry for yourself.
And I'll say this: since I've started focusing on more organic food, you know, real sugar, or like, you know, soda and whatnot, I've been actually starting to feel a little bit better. I know sugar is bad for you, but it's way better than, you know, Splenda or high fructose corn syrup. More with Vina Eastwood and Will Ryan from the Vina Eastwood Show coming up right after this. You're listening to Freedom Files on American Freedom Radio.
Oh, yeah!
Freedom Files, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7.
And Saturdays from 9 to 11
Central. On American Freedom Radio. Radio. Radio.
Through the first hour, you are listening to Freedom Files live on American Freedom Radio on this Tuesday afternoon in America, or Wednesday morning in New Zealand, joined once again by Vinny Eastwood and Will. I like to say that. From the Vinny Eastwood Show.
The Vinny Eastwood Show with Will.
With Will. I know. So Will, honestly, do you get tired of Vinny and Mitch saying that all the time? Or do you just
I don't
like...
know how it come on. It's like some nuance they created. Yeah. It's quite interesting.
It's like, hey, it's my thing now.
Yeah.
It works.
It's your thing. The whole network's going to take it up soon. It's all good. It's all self-promotion.
You're branded, my son.
We're looking with Will on Facebook soon.
Yeah. Create a new Facebook group, man.
Exactly. Let's see what's happening in let's talk about let's have a little competition, if you will, the best countries in the world according to Newsweek. All right, let's see, best countries in the world. What country is number one? Is it the U.S.? Is it New Zealand? No, it's Finland.
Finland.
Boom.
Oh, so, interesting fact about Finland and New Zealand. It's to do with immigration. You know, how many has it come over the borders in the U.S.? 200,000 a year, something like that? And in New Zealand, we have 50,000 a year legal immigration. In Finland, they have 400 a year.
Wow.
And as a population, that's twice the size of New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem with immigration, but when it's illegal and you're not following the rules of that
country. It's more the fact that immigration is a dilutant to culture. The American culture, for example, is very, very defined in its American dream, you know, so to speak. You know, for all the nuances and agendas of the New World Order aside, the general idea of freedom and love and liberty and all of that is still there at its base root in the United States. Immigration, when you have different cultures mixing together and those different cultures who are coming in don't integrate, don't assimilate, when they start forming their own communities and start speaking different languages in places where those languages aren't normally spoken, it changes the dynamic and it changes the unity that a culture normally has. And what Finland has done, they've recognized this, that if you let people come in too quickly, they don't integrate with your culture. They don't learn the way things are in your country. They don't learn your laws. They don't learn your language. And they don't learn the respect for the great opportunity that they have to be there.
Wait a minute though, Vinny, like, play devil's advocate here. If you actually think about what you just said, did the European settlers in America assimilate to the culture that was there prior to their arrival?
That's exactly the point. They destroyed the Native American culture because too many of them came in too quickly. The same reason how illegal immigration is destroying America, because too many of them are coming in too quickly. It's the exact same thing,
and
it repeats.
That is definitely a valid point. And I always use this argument, okay? If I want to move to Mexico or France or Germany, I have, first and foremost, in order to actually live there and you know, make it there on a daily basis, I have to actually learn their language, okay? People make such a big deal about learning English. I know it's not the best language in the world, but it is the predominant American language, okay? It's what we mainly use in the United States, and it's not asking too much, in my opinion, for people who want to come live here and, you know, make a better life for themselves in this dark time we live in, to, you know, just actually learn our language. I don't think we should have to cater to anyone else if they want to come here.
I have to tell you this, then. I got this from our sponsor, Speaking German in Texas. Here in Texas, where I live, there is a town called New Braunfels, where there is a large German-speaking population. One day, a local rancher driving down a country road noticed a man using his right hand to drink water from the rancher's stock pond. The rancher rolled down the window and shouted, "Seh, Einigheim, trink das Wasser leck, die Kuhn haben die Gärtchen," which means, "Glad to meet you. Don't drink the water. The cows have pooed in it." The man shouted back, "I'm from New York and just down here from campaigning for Obama's healthcare plan. I can't understand you. Please speak in English." The rancher replies, "Use both hands. You'll get more."
Yeah. Yeah, it's true that you know, I looked at a population grid map, and you know, most of Americans do have a German ancestry.
Yeah,
but we speak English though. I mean,
true.
Part of my ancestry is German, also Scotch Irish, but I don't speak German.
Mm.
But I mean, that's just a prime example. I mean, a lot of people that come here. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having another language.
Yeah,
our languages. I mean, the more languages you know, the better off you're going to be in this world. But at the same time, I think at the very least, you should follow the laws of that country. Well, most of our laws I don't even like following. So.
Most of them are illegal anyway. The laws are illegal.
Yeah.
And they're certainly immoral.
Yeah, certainly, well, okay.
Statute. They don't even have any basis, you know. I mean, supposedly we're all supposed to be based on the common law. I mean, this is the free man argument. You're familiar with the Rob Menard and all of that, you know. And that's just, common law system was actually working pretty great, you know, supposedly. And it's just been thrown out and watered down. And now anybody can stop you for any reason they want and not have to listen to you. I mean, and the fundamental breakdown of society is when people stop communicating. And when you have bureaucrats that are blindly following rules and orders and this kind of thing, and they don't have any idea the power that they have is false, and they don't have any idea that the actions that they take can really hurt people. And they flag it off like, oh, I'm just doing my job. You can't sit on the fence when you're in a slum where it's being bulldozed, you know?
Finland is a country of fence sitters, and so is Switzerland and all those nations up there. And that's why people think they're great, because they don't really get involved in anything. But
Switzerland's number two on the list. Sweden is number three.
I compl- all those countries.
Yeah, and you guys will not like this at all. Number four is Australia.
New Zealand got number one today. Did you hear? For the most peaceful country on earth, New Zealand got number one. Oh, what a ridiculous list! This country is like war torn, racially divided. You know, it's got the same problems on the ground as anywhere else you want to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you think New Zealand would do better than Australia? I mean, most of Australia is like wasteland.
Well, the eugenicists talk about overpopulation, and it was done a couple of years ago. I think they worked out that there's seven states in Australia, much like, you know, different states in the United States, but they could hand up about six of those states and give a quarter acre to every person that currently walks the earth, okay, and still have one of the states left over. That's how much space we have on this planet.
Oh yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, there's an international consensus, really, that the people of America know very little about geography and the world around them, and I imagine that it's not too far from the truth.
Yeah, I agree, and I agree that that's definitely overblown. I think there's still, you know, plenty of room. But the problem is you have these people that, I mean, and generally I do take issue with people that want to have a whole bunch of children. You know, I think there is a little responsibility there. But at the same time, you see where our population is. We're not exactly making the numbers to keep the population going at this moment.
Mm.
But I do think on average, everybody that is married that wants to have kids, it should be, you know, your choice. You know, I don't think it's a big deal having two or three children. I think a one-child policy is ridiculous.
19 is getting a little too far.
Yeah.
Well, two's replacement, and we need a minimum of two, and it's 1.3 amongst Europeans in the United States, as I believe. And so then that leads, it actually lends argument to some of the more hardcore, I mean, people think we're hardcore, but some of the more hardcore, real right-wing racist factions who say the white man's under attack, part of their argument statistically is actually quite correct. I mean, their gene pool is under threat by way of, you know, the reproductive statistics and their fertility being, everyone's fertility being under attack for some of the chemical poisonings in our foods.
Created crisis.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I'm of the mindset that eventually, if the human race continues, hopefully it will, that eventually we're all going to intermingle and put aside these racial differences and start getting it all of everybody. And
yeah, straight up.
Exactly.
There's a Maori leader in New Zealand, and her name was Dame Fina Cooper. You know how when you get knighted, you're called Sir if you're a man and Dame if you're a woman. And her solution to the racial problems between the indigenous peoples of New Zealand, the Maori and the Pākehā, or white settlers, was marry each other. You know, if you've got any racial problems with me, sort them out in the bedroom. And it worked very well. Today, there is not a full-blooded Maori that walks the earth. Not one.
That's debated.
Everybody is a mix of something, which means that there is actually Maori throughout everywhere, just in small bits. And it's quite interesting to me, though, that there's still experiencing a renaissance in the prominence of their culture. They've got a new television station now for Maori. They've got a new political party that's represented in Parliament for Maori. They've got sovereignty movements on the truther side of things starting to move up. You know how you can declare state sovereignty? Well, in New Zealand, the tribes of Maori are actually able to declare that in a certain sense, and they're trying to ratify it through the courts. And this was something that was led to the biggest terror raid in New Zealand's history. What was it, October the 15th, I believe it was, 2008. The police had been surveilling a town. Yeah, oh, it's 2007, yeah. And the police had been surveilling an entire small town of 2,000 people intensively for ages and ages and ages to catch these terrorists. And they were just a bunch of Māori guys, you know, going out with their rifles and stuff to hunt pigs and shoot at stuff. And shoot.
They had to bring the global terror threat to New Zealand in order to sell the same baloney laws our own TSA Act, the equivalent of our Patriot Act here in New Zealand, which they're expanding this October.
And equivalent raids happened in 15 other countries on that exact same day.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, imagine the coincidence. Yeah. Well, that's just a coincidence. There was no planning there. There was no organization, nothing behind the scenes going on in those raids.
The chief justices and the justice ministers of all of our countries, all of us English-speaking countries, you know, like Britain, UK, the United Kingdom and Canada and the United States and Australia and New Zealand, they all meet secretly, I think, every 3 or 6 months. You know, what the hell are they talking about? Why are they talking about it behind closed doors, you know? And it brings in mind to me these Georgia Guidestones about the one law for all, and freaks me out, man, because it's really, really real now.
Yeah, it is, and it's kind of strange because, I mean, this, I don't know what to make of this, you know, world's best countries list from Newsweek. I mean, they have Canada at number 7, okay, and G20 in Toronto, I don't think I'd want to go to Canada anytime soon. I think they're even worse than the United States.
Yeah, well, it's just an upside-down world, isn't it? So their best is probably my worst. I mean, I absolutely, no disrespect, but I absolutely hate some of those Nordic countries. Like, in the sense of how they're just like real fence-sitting liberal, just airy-fairy. You know, I guess the only thing they do right is oppose water fluoridation, maybe. But, you know, like, they really are just afraid to take any hard line on anything, and therefore they just get, you know, they get shafted every day.
Let's be diplomatic.
I'm all for diplomacy, you know, but sometimes there comes a point where you have to be willing to back that diplomacy with, you know, just like Teddy Roosevelt said, you know, speak softly but carry a big stick. And I hate to quote him, but you know, that's a good quote. And to wrap up the top whatever this Newsweek article, the U.S. is number 11, New Zealand 13, the United Kingdom is number 14. So there's a couple other countries, but like you said, Will, who cares about them?
Do they use an index of any sort, like any sort of scientific measurement?
Yeah, they had like different. They had like education, health, quality of life, politics, economics, and they kind of, you know, use that to factor in the overall system of like which
real income.
Yeah.
Now, run from the top of the list to the bottom. You know, I mean, how many New World Order controlled countries are there, right?
Yeah, I say most.
Which I'd probably say the top 20 New World Order controlled countries.
Yeah,
they're all G20 probably.
Yeah. Yeah. How? What a coincidence!
What a coinky dink! We'll be right back with Will Ryan and Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. You're listening to Freedom Files on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Welcome back to the show in the final minutes of the 5 o'clock hour. About to head into the 6 o'clock hour with our guests, Vinny Eastwood and Will Ryan from the Vinny Eastwood Show. You can check out their show every day, Monday through Friday, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Yeah, and, we like to have fun on the Middle Eastwood show. And just on the fun note, you know, if I'm found bound and gagged and chopped up into sushi, it was not a suicide.
Exactly. If you know, if I'm found in the lake somewhere with semen, you know, shoes, you know, the same thing. You know, I didn't want to end it that way. I nearly drowned one time in the middle of a lake, and it wasn't fun. So, yeah. So if I choose, I would never. I never take myself out in the first place. But if I chose to, it would not be by drowning.
And speaking of sports and all of that, remember last year or the year before? last year or the year before, the All Blacks, our big rugby team, you know, they're like icons in this country. They lost, you know, quite miserably in the World Cup. And a day later, a guy was found wearing a pink sweater, and he had certain sexual objects on his person, and no pants on or anything, and he was found dead by the water. And he was wearing an All Blacks jersey. And so in an effort to, you know, protect the family from shame, the police removed the All Blacks jersey from the body.
Yes, that's one of those interchangeable jokes. I've heard it before another team.
Hey, what a tangled web we weave. Yeah. No, it's the same culture we've got in our countries, isn't it?
You know? Definitely. Yeah. I mean, look what happened a few months ago at the NBA Finals. I'm not really a big basketball fan like I used to be, but the Lakers, you know, they win, and for some reason, that tells the people in Los Angeles to go ahead and burn the city to the ground and start tipping over cars and breaking into shops. I mean, where's the mentality there?
No, well, I'd say just why not, you know? Well, insanity is part of the game, man. I mean, in England, they have football hooligans who literally go around smashing up stuff during the football season.
Yeah, when I was growing up in England, I spent the first 10 years of my life there. We, in fact, before my parents could afford to move into a better part of town, we lived near a football stadium. And we had one of these riots go down outside our house, and people were just going door to door and smashing in windows and everything. And of course, it's a disarmed commie state. You're not allowed to have guns. And so, yeah, the next best thing was like a big stick and a baseball bat.
Yeah.
It's incredible how people are motivated and they actually draw lines. There's like Chelsea fans and Newcastle fans, and the same in the States. You've got people like Troy from West Virginia, you know, Dodgers fans and Cowboys fans and
Green Bay Packers.
Like total balkanization based upon no notions of nothingness, and yet then the real political philosophies get left behind. And
I mean, there's nothing wrong with sports. I mean, I'm a Saints fan. I like the New Orleans Saints, not just because they won the Super Bowl, but I've been a hardcore fan for a long time now, from the good years and the bad years. But that's not my life, though. Okay, I don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. People need to learn moderation with everything, but unfortunately, it's become another form of, you know, bread and circus used by the New World Order, the global elite. It's a distraction, just like all these, you know, crappy reality shows now.
Mm-hmm.
That just
seems to be getting worse and worse.
They just use our good intentions against us, huh? Like, we all like to watch a bit of entertainment and sports and stuff, and they just know how our brains work and use that to hijack our motivations.
But, yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
Why should we get excited about all of these things? You know, it's almost as if it's a waste of human potential to sit around absorbing things that other people have done before you to a certain extent, rather than creating things for yourself, or rather than offering opinions on things to go out and try and influence public opinion to actually make a sea change happen. And we've all got that ability, right? But very few of us actually realize that we can just do it right that with a decision. Snap, the decision's made. And for most of us in the truth movement, my theory is that a lot of us have been suppressed or had something really, really bad happen to us. You know, I got busted once and got screwed over at every job that I did. You know, it's equal and opposite reaction. What was done to me created me, and I believe created us all. And it's most of us that have experienced the firsthand the weapons of the enemy as the real nasty side of our so-called civil society that really, really get motivated to do something about it. And some of us don't retain sanity long enough to do that. Some of us commit suicide or have developmental problems or things like that or become mentally abused shut-ins. You know, and there's a lot of people out there like that. And I find that what Mark Twain said is that humor is what protects the human race from the universe. And as far as I'm concerned, the universe that this new world order has created for us in our daily society is something that we should just cackle at because it's all just a big freaking lie.
You're absolutely right there, Vinny. I mean, that's what it basically is. It's all distraction. Even the stuff we seem to take some stock in, like, for example, you know, American football season. You know, a lot of people are all excited about college football and pro football here. Like, they're already, you know, waving whatever team they support's flags and wearing the – and I do it too, you know, but not to the degree a lot of people do. And I think people, you know, not just in the States, like you were saying, but throughout the world, are distracted by a lot of this pre-programming, a lot of this BS.
And it's all the same kind of stuff, just with different labels. Like in New Zealand, it's called rugby. In America, it's called football. In Canada, it's called ice hockey. In the UK, it's called football. There's all these different sports with all these different tastes and flavors, but they're all the exact same thing that just reek of bowing down to the leadership and teamwork for the greater good to make sure that you serve your government. Oh, yes, master. Yeah. I love you so much, communist state. Please enslave me, master.
Speaking of flavor, more of Freedom Files / Vinny Eastwood Show coming your way next hour. Keep it right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Exposing the lies of the police state.
If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Two-party puppet show.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
The mainstream media and New World Order.
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do.
It's Freedom Files with James Burns on American Freedom Radio.
The second hour. You are listening to Freedom Files live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I am your host, James Burns, joined by a nice round table of individuals. To my left, of course, Jeff L. Director, and all the way from New Zealand.
What direction would that be? That'd be like
it depends on which
extreme right.
Well, since we live on a round sphere, you could go either way. You could go north, south, east, west, or whatever to get to New Zealand from here. So whichever way floats your boat. So in New Zealand, we got, for the rest of the hour, Vinny Eastwood and Will Ryan for the Vinny Eastwood Show.
And it's always fabulous to be on Freedom Files, which, as I said during the break, should be renamed Freedom Files and spelled files with a PH. Lovely. You know, it is a good roundtable group that we've got here. We're like the Bilderberg group of the truth movement right now, you know.
I think you're giving us too much credit there,
the
Vinny.
Truth group.
And at the same time insulting us all.
Oh, yeah.
So well, you can go either way with that one.
If you can't make fun of yourself.
Bad ideas and make them good.
Yeah. That's a good point.
If you can't make fun of yourself, you know, you can't make fun of the enemy. If you can't make fun of the enemy, then hell, you give them too much credibility than they deserve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff just had a good point, though. Just kind of like the Joker in Dark Knight, you know, you take their little plan and you turn it on itself. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe that's the strategy we should take, the Joker plan. I took your little plan and I turned it on itself.
Oh, yes. And that's what I always like to do. For example, propaganda. Propaganda comes from various different types, you know, like black propaganda, white propaganda, you know, using the truth to change people's mindset, or using lies or misinformation to change people's mindset to get them to think what you want them to think. My propaganda is trying to get people to realize the truth and realize how powerful they are and how much ability they have and how much they can do to stop it and how good it feels. You know? That's what I'm trying to brainwash you all into thinking, quite frankly. Every day on the Vinnie Eastwood show, I'm trying to propagandize you to make you believe that you're a powerful individual, that you can play a vital role in the resistance against the New World Order in your own special way. If it's a multifaceted agenda, then it requires a multifaceted solution. And every human being is part of that solution in their own little way. How could you ever fight a war on multiple fronts against a billion different kinds of armies?
That's true. And you make a very good point there, Vinny. I mean, we call what they're doing brainwashing, but what are we really trying to do? I mean, are we any better? Is that, you know, taking that hard look at the mirror? You know, are we any better with what we're doing? I mean, I like to believe that we're deprogramming people and speaking truth to power, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, are we really doing
all
that?
All comes down to your intentions.
Yeah, good point.
I get people say to me that, you know what, you go on about climate change and the banking system, and it's too complicated, it's too difficult for ordinary people to understand, and you have to dumb it down, you have to simplify it. And I say, I tell people, I say, as soon as you do that, you go on the path of ending up like the mainstream media. Yeah. Because it becomes propaganda. If you try and simplify a complex situation, you can't make it anything but what it is. And if you try and label it as something else, then yeah, you end up propagandizing people.
Yeah, and that's basically the thing what we're involved in here. It is quite literally a propaganda war. I mean, guys like me, I mean, I'm a lover, not a fucking talking to people and making things happen on the ground floor rather than on the front line stabbing other human beings, you know?
Exactly. Well, we will discuss more of this and other wonderful topics. You're listening to Freedom Files live on American Freedom Radio. Tuesday afternoon here in the States, Wednesday morning in New Zealand. You're listening to Freedom Files live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com with my guests, Vinny Eastwood and Will from the Vinny Eastwood Show. And during the break, we were discussing this article that came out regarding the class of 14. And they're talking about how these kids coming up now, they see email as dead.
Yeah.
And they see Clint Eastwood as a sensitive director. I mean, what is wrong with kids?
Which is in Madison County. He killed him. He shot himself in the foot.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's still a good movie, though. But no, that one movie does not kill him. That just that broadens him as an actor.
Yeah.
He's still a badass.
But it killed his image. I mean, look at there.
Well, if they're judging him by that one movie, you know, instead of all the countless other movies he's done, you know, Dirty Harry, Kelly's Heroes, the Man with No Name trilogy, like we were talking about Gran Torino during the break, you know, I mean, and Unforgiven, and you know, another film. He's directed so many of his own movies, and most of them, he's a badass. So, I mean, what do you guys think of? Well, I'm Vinny Eastwood. I wonder if you're related to Clint. Any?
Oh well, I was wondering that myself. But the most famous relative I have is Lucy Lawless, Xena, Warrior Princess.
Oh, really? Lucy Lawless,
the Cylon lady herself. Yeah. She's my cousy bro.
Climate change queen.
I'm from making any comments about
the
her new
climate team. Change. Yeah. Well, it was
the
interesting.
Ice queen.
I talked to Lucy one time about this, and I asked her, you know, I'm trying to, you know, be kind of sensitive and stuff by not calling her a climate cultist as I normally would. asked her why she was so adamant about this climate change stuff, why she was devoting her free time and everything to it. And she glazed over and had this, I think it's the most important issue in the world, and if we don't stop it, we're all going to die. And I was just like, okay, I ain't pushing that further because I could see the way this conversation would go.
Zena, kick your ass.
Conveniently, I have a Vinnyism to explain this. On the points we agree, come together and collaborate. On the points we disagree, toss them aside.
War.
Because You can't accomplish anything if you're fighting with people about stuff all the time. You can only accomplish things by working with each other to stop the things that you both agree are really, really bad. I mean, for example, if I were to go up to a climate cultist and say, hey, man, how come you're not protesting about deforestation? How come you're not trying to get nutrients back into the soil so people don't get sick all the time? How come you aren't protesting against vaccines, putting harmful drugs and mercury into people's bloodstreams? How come you ain't protesting about that? Where's your environmentalism gone? Oh, no, no, you're not talking about environmentalism anymore. You're talking about carbon taxes and making me have extra money to pay whenever I have to go around doing work.
Yeah.
Mm. That's what you should say to them. I think people should war with them. Like, are we just to agree on should we stick to the issues we agree on with Barack Obama? And say, oh, I love you. You know, I love your daughters. They're so, I mean, it's just.
That's not what I'm talking about.
It's a war with
people. That's not what I'm talking about, bro. I mean, not the people who are obviously evil and obviously work for the enemy.
Where do you draw the line, though? That's what I'm saying.
No. I'm talking about in the truth.
And they're on the street. I'm saying they're working for the enemy.
But this is how I take it, okay? I mean, when it comes to the average person, yeah, I agree with that. You have to pick and choose your discussions. But when it comes to somebody like Lucy Lawless, your cousin, who's a celebrity, who's influential, unfortunately, because we do have this celebrity worshipness going on in this world, I think it is important to debate them and to challenge their thoughts and their ideas and open, people like Lucy up to the truth, because if you get her on our side, ultimately, it's not an easy road to go down. Mm. But if you get her on our side, maybe she'll influence other celebrities she knows and works with to also do an about face. And that's, going back to what we were saying, a few minutes ago about, taking the enemy's plan and turning it on itself, because they like to use celebrities against us.
Mm. So we get like Charlie Sheen on the side of 9/11 Truth, and then they go on a character assassination war.
Oh, yeah. And that's unfortunate.
So similarly, we should assassinate the celebrities that work on their side. Not assassinate, literally, but... So that's the way I look at it. I say, like, where do you draw the line between Barack Obama and then one of their minions on the street who do get paid by Greenpeace, at least in Auckland, $15 an hour to stand on the side of the street proselytizing for Al Gore? And so I say they're working for the enemy, and I say war with them. If they're not willing to listen to a well-reasoned argument with facts and figures, and they just want to say, oh, do it for Gaia, kill yourselves, then they need to be warred with,
yes, attack them, go and approach them with a megaphone and a camera.
I don't know what the way is otherwise. I mean, they're not willing to listen.
No, they're not,
in a reasonable sense.
Well,
yeah,
and we saw that then. I mean, they attacked us, polar bears, men in polar bears. Yes.
No, seriously, if there's ever a group of people that so obviously suffer from mental disorders, it would be climate cultists. I mean, they're all clearly bipolar.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And I have nothing against your cousin. In fact, back in the 90s, I had a crush on her, like most guys did when she was Xena. And
a lot of girls.
And some girls did too. But I loved her in Battlestar Galactica. She was an awesome
stylist.
Oh, she's
brilliant, huh?
But my
cousin is just the nicest, friendliest, most awesomest chick. Like, no kidding. And this is what the point is. When you're asleep... When you're sleepwalking, you don't realize the damage you're causing, right? And it doesn't mean that you're evil if you have been brainwashed and you're really going out there and you don't actually know what you're doing, okay? Then you're not really the enemy. If you are intentionally, however, doing evil things, and provably so, not just playing a part in the machine, because after all, we all play a part in the machine. I remember Nicola Grace from New Zealand Health Freedom have a hassle at me for smoking and saying I'm supporting big tobacco. And then I said, hey, well, you put gas in your car, didn't you? You're supporting big oil.
But it's all a matter of degrees, Vinny. That's the hard part, because I could make the case and say Barack Obama is just like Lucy Lawless in the sense that he is sleepwalking through. Barack Obama, I don't know 100% if he knows he's working for the New World Order or not. I don't know that 100%. I suspect he does, but I can't prove what's in his head. And so I could say that Barack Obama is just doing his job as a public servant minion, and he's serving certain corporations and their interests and the Federal Reserve and everything else, but because he has to, and because he's probably got a gun to his head. So I could make the case and say, none of us should mock Barack Obama. You shouldn't be able to say, oh, Barry, and say he's from Hawaii or Kenya or anything, and because he's just doing his job, just as Lucy Lawless is just sleepwalking also. I mean, it's all a matter of degrees. It gets really difficult to discern who's good or bad. I say if someone's working for globalist agenda,
dishonest,
if someone is arguing on the street for a globalist agenda, I say they're bad. And that's just me, though. That's my distinction.
Well, you kind of have to draw the line between saying that someone is bad to rather than what they're doing is bad. I mean, I've done bad things in my life. I'm sure we all have, and the things that we're not proud of. But we repent, or whatever thing you need to do, build a bridge and get the hell over it.
Do something good to make up for it.
Absolutely. And I believe that a lot of these people who are globalist minions can do something good to make up for their wrongs. And to think of them as enemies is simply kind of going into the New World Order paradigm a little bit, with the us versus them, the infighting, the conflict, because many of these people are members of activist groups. For example, a free man on the land down in Hamilton who was helping out my guest on the show from the Zeitgeist movement, Worry, he works for Greenpeace, okay? All these different movements in the world are starting to integrate and intermingle, and they're all
doing... Of course they are, doing, because that's the New World Order.
Well, I'm talking about the activist movements and everything. They're all starting to intermingle and sort of accomplish things together, Just like we're collaborating now with Freedom Files on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Is Barack Obama an enemy?
Yeah. He is an enemy of the state. He is an alien. Well, A1, he's an illegitimate president. B2, all the legislation that he's passed, a lot of it's been done by executive order, and he's demonstrably trying to rip off the United States and give it all to the banksters. Demonstrably.
He's not personally doing that. He's not personally.
He is personally doing it. It's his goddamn signature on the piece of paper.
One of the FCC words. But I kind of in the middle on this argument, because I agree with you, Will. I think if you're being paid by these groups, by these New World Order groups to spout the lies, you're not going to be willing to listen to any of us that are trying to wake them up, because you're being paid, you're being influenced, you're willfully going into it. However, if you're like Lucy Lawless and you're a just an actress, she didn't have any upbringing similar to what we'll get into Obama in a minute and the reason why he's different. The reason why I go into Lucy Lawless here not being the enemy or any other actress or actor is because they've been brainwashed into believing the global warming spiel. They think it's a good thing. They like Sheryl Crow with all her eco-friendly, her green tour she's doing, with her her writer she has. And she doesn't know any better. I think she's a good person, just like Lucy Lawless is. They just, unfortunately, don't know any better when it comes to all this stuff. But Barack Obama, on the other hand, has been a politician forever. He's been brought up by these people. He went to Harvard. He went to Columbia. He was worked. What was it? What was he like? What the hell was he? He did
community liaison.
Yeah, community guy. He's been brought up with this whole extreme, false leftist New World Order pitch. Okay, he believes in it. Okay, he's that's what he is. That's how he's different, because he's not going out there, saying something because he believes it to be true. He's doing more than that. He's pushing it. He's pushing the agenda with Obamacare, with the Serve America Act, with cap and tax. That's what makes him different.
And so he's lying to the American public all the time, and you shall know a tree by its fruit.
Greenpeace lied to the public all the time, too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Knowingly, too. Knowingly, and getting paid to by big corporate lobbyists. Yeah.
And this is the difference between the lower down levels of any organization or any business towards the guys up top. The people down the bottom have no idea in the main what the intentions really are of the organization they belong to. I work for several telecommunication companies, and each of them, after thinking for a long time that they were really, really good and trying to save people money and doing all this, that, and the other, that they were anything but the lovely pretense that they put up. And the New World Order and the Greenpeace and any other organisation, any business or any political party is structured in such a way.
It's a pyramid scheme, and they use ordinary dupes down the bottom to prop up their evil system.
Exactly. So,
but I'm just saying, where does the line go from being good to evil, if you will, if we want to keep it in that paradigm? Where does it? How far up the pyramid have you got to be? You're saying it's middle management, Barack Obama, because he's not at the top. I guarantee you that Barack Obama probably doesn't know anything about water fluoridation, and probably isn't sitting at home right now going, ha ha ha, you know, they're all drinking sodium fluoride. He probably isn't, but he is the figurehead of a government that is doing that. And so, just in the same way that Lucy Lawless probably isn't consciously going, you know, ha ha ha, I'm conning them all into Al Gore's scam. He's going to make millions and he's going to give me a resort in, you know, San Francisco or something. I mean, she probably isn't actively doing that, but by her works, she is.
Yeah. But she doesn't hold a political office where she can make decisions regarding changing laws and influencing millions of people, though. And you know, going to Obama real quick, he may not know about water fluoridation, but at the same time, here's a prime example of him being in the know. You know, they did this whole big thing in the weekend, over the weekend, of him and his youngest daughter swimming in the Gulf, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, it wasn't the Gulf that they were swimming in.
Yeah,
I suspected all along.
No, it was off the Gulf. It was like where was it? It was.
I don't think I ever determined where it was, but
I found out where
you did find it.
I did, but it wasn't in.
I thought it was in Spain. They went swimming.
Yeah,
just the fact that the picture was supplied by the White House should have tipped you off.
Yeah, and they didn't allow cameras or video or anything of their little quote unquote swim.
Yeah,
I mean there shows you an example. Okay, he knows that there's something wrong with the Gulf because he didn't actually go into the Gulf, even though he said I went swimming with my daughter in the Gulf. Here's a stupid photo.
People to do it, even though he won't do it.
Mm-hmm. So,
clearly culpable, okay? Caught with his hand in the freaking cookie
jar. He'll be killed if he doesn't do otherwise. Though. If he doesn't follow orders, they'll kill him. Yeah.
But he didn't have to run for state senator. He didn't have to run for senator. He didn't have to run for president. He chose all three. Therefore, he's guilty.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree. He's guilty, I'm just saying who else is guilty. That's all.
Well, how about this? Don't worry about the ones that you don't know are guilty to a certain extent. Try and defame and destroy the reputations of the ones that you know are guilty, because they're the main support struts of the New World Order. They're where all the public attention is. And if you wind up waking people up through those structures of public attention, you can wake immense amounts of people up. That's why even small activist organizations make comments about Obama and things like this, because we have to think of things from a greater scale. And it's not about whether or not somebody is your enemy necessarily. It's about tactical resistance. If I were to run up to you, Will, while you were asleep, while you were in university drinking back copious quantities of beer with the rest of the A students, and I were to say, you're the enemy, you're working for the New World Order, you're drinking their beer, you're doing this, you probably would have shied away from me, and you and I would have...
That's the thing, though, Vinny. I've thought about this a lot. If someone come up to me, because I didn't need someone to come up to me to wake up, but if someone did come up to me and said, look, this is what's going on and everything else, and handed me a flyer on the side of the street, I would take it, as I do from people currently, and I would research it. That's the difference between me and Lucy Lawless, say, and the climate cultists. And that's why I don't appreciate their globalist-funded attitudes towards life. You know, like...
Think about it in a religious context, like conversion. You know, people can be converted, because I think that basically we're all in a cult of some description, you know, in some ethereal sort of way, you know. There's all these different truth movement cults and stuff like that. And I know from experience, you know, I was actually a member of what I later found out to be a cult, led by this enormous con man who went down for 36 charges of fraud. All right?
Wow.
36! And these aren't just small charges of fraud either. This is like $3.4 million worth of fraud. Okay? And he was running the whole show. And get this, he was using the free man arguments and Maori sovereignty independence to try and set up an independent state so that he could dictate his own laws and do as much fraud as he wanted.
Well, that's the problem, though, because...
And what he told all of us is that he's setting up this independent Maori nation for the good of the country against outside of the New World Order jurisdiction, so that we can fight them from within, so that we can change the government, right? And this is the difference between knowing what you're dealing with and doing research, right? Because if I had done even a modicum of research, didn't done so much as a Google search on this guy, I would have known very, very quickly how much of a scumbag this guy was.
I did search the guy as soon as you told me about him, and that's why I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know. But Will, you didn't tell me about what you found.
I tried to. At the SES
but I
project.
Wouldn't listen, would I?
I wouldn't listen.
This is a conversation for off-air anyway.
Well, definitely there is a lot of wolves and sheep clothing out there we have to be on the lookout out for, and we also have to take a harder look at our quote-unquote leaders in this movement. But more of that coming up right after this with Vinny Eastwood, Will Ryan from the Vinny Eastwood Show. You're listening to Freedom Files on American Freedom Radio.
Oh yeah.
Through the second hour, you are listening to Freedom Files live 3 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7, and of course our Saturday night show, 9 to 11 Central, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Our website, freedomfiles.us, joined once again by Vinny Eastwood and Will from the Vinny Eastwood Show. And we were about to start talking about leaders within the movement, and it's been, I don't know if it's been officially confirmed, but a lot of people here are talking about supposedly Ron Paul is officially going to run in 2012. And that brings up a very good argument, okay? I mean, I love Ron Paul. I supported him. He helped, you know, cure my apathy to a certain extent back in 2007, 2008. I campaigned for him. I put out yard signs and all that stuff. But, I mean, are we too dependent on these leaders, even though they're good leaders, Or is it okay for us to get behind leaders? What do you guys think about that?
There's levels of it, you know. I mean, at the same time, we all have to be leaders in ourselves and our own communities, because after all, there's only one person that can dictate the direction of my life, and that's me, to a large extent. Yeah. Of course, there are other people who will just burst in my doors with, you know, semi-automatic weapons and, you know, kill me in my sleep and then say it was a suicide. But you know that I'll cross that river when I come to it. The river Styx. But you know, as far as our leaders are concerned, there's all these layers of propaganda with everything, you know, and even within ourselves, because we've been raised in this New World Order system, and for some of them, these are layers of propaganda are very deep seated, and you peel them back like layers of the onion and like of social propaganda programming, and I'm finding that I learn new things about myself all the time, because I'm trying to mess with my mind as much as possible, you know, to keep me on my toes. And today with this group here, the discussion we've been having, the Bilderberger Fuel group,
that's the connection he made. Okay. Now I get
it. It's really messing with my head a lot, and I seem to be learning a bit, because we're entering into deep discussions, and these need to happen a lot more, particularly between people, because when dialogue dies down, I mean, war, conflict, you never do any listening during those things, namely because it's all drowned out by the bombs going off.
Yeah,
it should happen out and about, and I try and do this with friends, and there's only a couple of good friends that I can speak to things like this about, and Vinny's one of them. But I find a lot of people, and even good friends, are just like, no, you know, you and Vinny or whoever are too over-opinionated, or you've got an opinion on everything. But the thing is, see, if we don't have an opinion on everything, the New World Order certainly does, and it's okay for the newscasters to sit there at 6 o'clock and tell us what to believe about everything. It's okay for the papers and the people in the mainstream radio to tell us what to believe about everything. And so then, by my standards, it's okay for me to disagree with everything. and so in that spirit, I am for Ron Paul. Part of me wants to, you know, destroy Parliament and kick out all the Masonic structure and everything else, but then, not being such an extremist, I'll say, yes, I'm for the founding fathers, I'm for the founding documents of the United States. I wish New Zealand had an equivalent. And Ron Paul is a libertarian. He does believe in self-governance and limiting government and just getting them out of our lives. I mean, the government should just fix the roads, in my opinion. They should have nothing to do with their health or education. But that's just me. But I think Ron Paul is a good stepping stone towards that solution. And so I'm all for him in 2012. But at the same time, I hope there's a truth party too. I want someone to start up, you know, a truth movement party. People who aren't afraid to say 9/11 was an inside job too. Deborah Medina and people like that have squandered at times. Just come out and say it. And you'll get a lot of support.
Yeah, I'll get into that in a moment, but we'll start with Ron Paul. My personal opinion is, If he does the same thing he did back in 2008, he campaigns up until the point where it's obvious he's not going to get the Republican nomination and then just quits, that's where I'm going to have a problem with it.
Well, he needs to drop the Republican Party to begin with.
He needs to be – yeah, I agree, Jeff. You're absolutely right.
That's the problem. They're not going to put him in. They're not going to elect him.
Yeah, no matter how popular he is now, he's a lot more popular now than he was 2 years ago. And he's going to be even more popular now in 2 years from now because it's obvious that the neocons are going to be going back to Congress, unfortunately, come November. And – unfortunately, my fear is I'm going to support Ron Paul unless there's somebody else out there that's more viable. But my fear is, and the reality of the situation is, the Republican Party, the establishment, is not going to nominate this guy no matter how many people support him.
Yeah.
And at that point,
Has Ron Paul stood up for you and your rights and your liberties? Has he tried to do things for the country that the globalists don't want? I believe he has, and when it comes to politics, it's all about backing the people who back you, and none other.
Yeah,
he wants to audit the Fed for a start. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's in the wrong party for all of his ideals.
Yeah,
you know, he's fighting a losing battle when he's going against people within his party. Yeah. He needs another party.
Yeah,
he's discussed this before.
It's the mainstream attention you get as a Republican that can be used in a tactical direction. Because in terms of us trying to take over the political system, let's not split hairs here. We're not fighting a winning battle so much as we are fighting an exposure battle. Because we're kept to the sidelines to the mainstream public to a certain extent, and it is even standing with these mainstream scum that we're going to increase our exposure, and then increase the exposure of the New World Order, shine the light of day on them, shine the studio lights on them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's basically all that really needs to be accomplished. A million people chipping away at the Berlin Wall made that puppy fall down overnight.
Yeah, oh, yeah, either definitely. For a no vote or for Ron Paul getting a whole bunch of votes, even if he's not nominated, that will send a big message to the system.
Yeah. No confidence. I have no confidence in my political system whatsoever.
Me either.
Okay? Yeah. You know, two slashes across that big voting paper, NC. Every people in the world.
I write things on this. I wrote a whole bunch of abuse to them last time on my voting paper.
And that's exactly how I feel about our local mayoral election coming up. I mean, there's nobody, no candidate right now in our local mayor race is worth voting for.
You should run, man.
Keep telling him, but he won't do it.
I have that. I guess I'm kind of negative in that part because I do believe it's a waste of time and money for me.
True.
You don't have to win. You just have to be seen.
Yeah, no, but I want to win, though. I want to win. But
there's a good way to win, to cheat. What you could do, right, is you could hack into the hacked in voting machines that are rigged and then rig them the other way. Turn the enemy's weapon against them.
Oh, yeah, but at the same time, that makes you know better than them, though. And, and that's one thing with Ron Paul. It's not enough for him to run for the presidency as a Republican. He has to be run it. He has to be in it all the way to November 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he does, whether he somehow by some miracle gets the nomination, which I doubt.
Nah, he's not going to. He's too.
He has to be committed.
Opposing.
Even I mean, if he wants to run as a Republican, that's fine. But the moment it's obvious that he's not going to get the nomination, jump ship and go independent. Don't do what you did back in 2008 because you made a lot of people disappointed, even me.
He is actually a relatively old guy, man. Campaigning is a hell of a tough job, even for young guys like us.
He is. That's very
true. And I think Ron Paul fights very hard every day for all of us. And it's the thing, we've got this expectation that our leaders should be supermen, that they're not human and that kind of thing. But if I was Ron Paul, man, if I wasn't going to get the nomination, mate, I would need to take a break because of all the hard work that I did organizing the money bomb and all of this other stuff. You know, he made more impact into the mainstream than any other candidate that I have ever seen.
Record contributions, also.
Absolutely. Yeah,
no question, guys. I mean, he did. I mean, he's made an influence which, you know, goes beyond the election. I mean, even now, I mean, he's woken up a lot of people. But at the same time, I think he's going to have a different strategy in 2012 than he did in 2008. It has to be more than just about, you know, waking up people. It has to be about, you know, winning, going all the way, going the distance in 2012, because we don't have that many chances here left in the States, unfortunately. Mm.
What I think's really lacking, though, and really lacking, something I really want to see, and for all the documentaries the BBC do, I've never seen them do a documentary on this subject, and that is understanding what left and right is meant to be. Even though we don't believe in the left-right paradigm, because it's false and it's all centrist and all supports the New World Order pillars, it's understanding what they both mean and the difference between libertarianism and statism, and for people, ordinary people, ordinary football heads, to understand that would be an amazing thing. And then perhaps you could get to a system where they could, you know, see the reasoning behind voting for someone like Ron Paul in a measurable way. Well, there's people don't understand that, not enough people anyway, understand the principles of liberty versus big government running your whole life and making all your choices for you because we're inadequate. You know, people need to be informed, I think, on the premise first.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem with the problem with voting is that when you vote, you do two things. A1, you let your voice be heard, and B2, you give credibility to the system that enslaves you. God.
What were you saying, Jeff?
I don't remember.
You don't remember.
I'm sure it wasn't important.
Yeah, you were just, I think you were agreeing with the statement.
Oh yeah, about the different parties. I mean, yeah, there definitely seems to be a transition over the years between the public's view on what each party actually means. People think that the neocons are the typical Republicans. They don't realize that, you know, Ron Paul is a true Republican. You know, people don't realize that. I myself never even got the connection before of what conservative meant. You know, for some reason I thought conservative was just, you know, being a stuffed shirt and all caring about money. I never realized until recently that it was all about conserving, you know, the old ways, conserving the Constitution. I never made that connection before. I just assumed any Republican was evil. Mm. And a lot of people are like that. And they think
that's
any Democrat
the image
is
they put out.
Huh? Yeah, that's the new image, you know. So, yeah,
okay, definitely. Republican, rich businessman, and left-wing is poor man, working-class freedom.
Exactly.
But it's almost the other way around.
Over time, the mainstream beliefs that back in the day, you know, real Republicans and all of that, became so diluted, and the public's knowledge of it has shriveled to something that's almost non-existent. So that now, what is commonly accepted to be a Republican and what used to be a Republican is now considered radical.
Yeah.
Totally. If long enough time passes, an old idea will become radicalized.
Definitely. Yeah. And the reality is, you look at the two parties, we'll use the Republicans and Democrats as an example, probably par for the course for most of the parties out there in the world. They have changed their platform countless times over the, you know, past century and past couple of decades. So really, I mean, people invest too much in being either a card-carrying Republican, Democrat, or over in England, you know, Labor Party, Conservative Party, or Neo-Lib, you know, the Lib Dem Party, or anywhere, especially in New Zealand, the same examples.
They changed their platforms.
Again.
They changed their platforms more than Donkey Kong.
Now that's going retro.
Straight up, it's radical.
Everything. Oh man. Yeah. I don't know where this all goes. I don't know where this all goes. Yeah. But yeah, I think there needs to be a central, like, we can have documentaries on, I don't know, the sex life of Dutch rabbits, but then we don't have documentaries on the banking system and everything else. And so it's self-evident to me. People go, oh, the media's not evil, the media's not hiding anything, you're just paranoid. Well, I'm like, well, why don't they do a documentary on these issues then? Why don't they just put an hour of that on? instead of like how to modify your lounge or like, you know.
I'd rather say instead of why don't the media do it, I'd rather say why don't I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
James has wanted to do a demo. But,
quit your belly aching, Will.
I'm just saying, for the people who believe the media is doing their job, these are arguments that make it self-evident that they're in fact not, and then they are involved in a game of chess, keeping you from seeing who the chess players are. And that's all I'm saying. I don't, for the converted, of course, replace them. But for the people who are still buying into it and turning on the TV and giving them ratings and giving them advertising revenue, then you know, I say this is why it's fake, and this is why, you know, you have to make the argument to them.
Well, and the mainstream, media hasn't been able to turn a profit since like what, 78? they just keep getting bailed out by Rothschild and Rockefeller money every single time. They like go back to them and they're like, "Oh, David, I don't have any money. I can't propagandize the public effectively without another enormous donation from the Carnegie Institution or something like that."
Well, that's a plan, Vinny. That's a plan. It's not. That's what the left are like. Oh, at least America's collapsing now. At least it's the fall of capitalism. And it's like, no, you idiots. It's planned. It's totally planned. The fall of the media is planned. They know this is all going to happen. They know they're not going to get their New World Order out of it. They're well ahead of the game.
It couldn't be more obvious if Benito Mussolini came out in front of the America and started going, "Oh, bibbidi bobbidi boobidi." You know, it's ridiculous, man.
Touche.
Bibbidi bobbidi boobidi. Yeah, it's just this enormous scam, you know, and that's why it's so, so funny.
Is that Larry Silverstein you're trying to impersonate?
Definitely. We'll be right back, guys. Final segment coming up. You're listening to Freedom Files on American Freedom Radio.
Rock! Rock it
all here. Okay, we're going to have to put you back in the cage. Going into the final segment of Freedom Files on this Tuesday. I am just so ahead of myself today. Now, I am technically in the future here. Okay?
Yeah, he's just competing with you guys. He wants to be ahead of you guys.
Yeah, I want to be ahead of New Zealand.
It's Wednesday for you.
Yeah, I'm still working on my DeLorean out back. I almost had the flux capacitor, okay? Almost got it. But anyways.
1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah, speaking of the future, before we get back into final moments of discussion, we got Christy coming up at 7 o'clock bringing you the Truth Brigade. So she's coming up in just a few moments. And a final topic of the evening, or morning, depending on where you are in the world, is the Raelians, the Looney Tune alien group. They are proposing a topless day coming up this Saturday, August 22nd. What are y'all's thoughts on topless day?
what's the point of this topless day? Are they trying to raise money for something or draw attention to a cause or just draw attention to boobies?
To freedom of nudity, basically.
Yeah. Well, because if it's just drawing attention to boobies, then I'm in full favor of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They do make it. I mean, aside from the Aurelians, whatever the hell they are, aside from that, they are making a valid point that, you know, it's not equal that men are allowed to go topless, but women aren't. You know, they even go so far as to say the men should be wearing bikini tops this day, and the women go topless.
Is it not equal that males have a certain genitalia and females don't? How equal do people want things?
That's true.
I don't know. That's just my. I just think we're all different.
Yeah, men and women aren't equal at all. You know, and it's just the thing. We can do similar things and all of that, but we're not the
woman's
same.
Bye-bye.
No. You know, and the Women's Lib movement was financed by the bloody Rockefellers. Okay? They financed the Women's Lib movement because instead of just having the fathers earning so that they could tax their income, they would have the fathers and the mothers earning so that they could tax their income and increase inflation so that not only do you have the mother and the father out of the house, but you have them working for longer to pay for less stuff. And it's beautiful.
And you take your kid off them. Take their kid off them, and you brainwash their kid and vaccinate the hell out of them too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Women's lip movement aside, it's still a freedom thing, you know, that men can go topless, but women can't, or that anybody's told they can't go topless.
Yeah, well, it should be.
What's the point? You know? Why does it matter if we're topless?
But what it goes a little bit further is, why have we put so much stock into cleavage?
To boobies, yeah. Why is it so evil and disgusting and sexy to see boobs?
Yeah. When did that happen exactly? When we had this program, it's probably part of the New World Order as well.
I know.
In the Garden of Eden, where man got man became conscious of his sin, isn't that the story?
No.
And then Eve knew she was naked. Eve's
No, bro, totally disagree. It's a pop culture thing, okay? After the Bloodhound Gang song, "Hooray for Boobies,"
that's it. That's what did it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought it was Sir Mixer. Sir Mix-a-Lot put him on the glass.
Uh-huh.
In much of the world, I mean, I'm
what are the views in New Zealand about toplessness? Do they have indecent exposure laws?
Interestingly enough, there is in fact a woman in Auckland, the largest city here, who sunbathes topless on Takapuna Beach, you know, one real close to the city. And she's been asked by the local council several times to cover up, even though there is no actual law. So she started up a Facebook group, and the news got involved, and there was this whole big kerfuffle over getting your boobs out on the beaches. Okay, and I thought to myself, well, it holds my attention at least, this story. But as well, as far as greater ramifications,
it's quite normal where I live.
Yeah, well, Waiheke Island, we have a little beach called Nudie Bay. It's right next to Palm Beach, quite a beautiful one, and surrounded by rocks and certain other thing that rhyme with rocks.
Yeah, definitely. But the question here is, if women were allowed to go topless, if we didn't make such a big deal about cleavage, would we as a society actually think, ooh, boobies? And would that also, you know, do away with women having to be programmed into falsely believing that they have to put silicone in them and poison themselves in order to make themselves seem more attractive?
Yeah.
It seems like a big step when we need to take baby steps to get people off this pharmaceutical cosmetic industry that they're addicted to, with young girls putting makeup on themselves, which ages them. And yeah, seems like a big radical step to take when people have a hard time just coming to grips with the simple stuff.
Well, interesting New Zealand story. Good dovetail here. There's been a guy, what was his name? Steve Crow or something from Adult Expo in Auckland. The last time, he promotes his big porn festival with an event called Boobs on Bikes, where various women with breasts, generally, are on the back of motorcycles cruising down the main drag. Now, for the last 2 years running, there was like 100,000 people on the first one, 200,000 people on the second one, and 7,000 people on the third one. As if the public's attention had just waned somewhat. They lost their heart on, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. And the more you see it, the less shocking or whatever it is. I mean, look at porn itself. After a while, you don't even notice the nudity anymore. And you can desensitize yourself to it. And
which is good and bad at the same time.
True.
Because
don't think it would be a big deal. You know, if everybody was going topless, eventually nobody would care.
And, you know, most women wouldn't do it anyways.
It would still be a personal preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just like wearing a bikini.
It's all over TV and movies.
Yeah. Exactly.
All over TV and movies, and that's okay according to the FCC, but we can't use colorful words.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to say a couple of colorful words. F you to the FCC.
There you go.
Amen to that. And I very rarely say amen to anything, but I agree. down with the FCC. They suck
death
ass.
Yeah.
Final few seconds. Plug y'all's websites in your show before we say goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want New Zealand's unconventional news, go to www.gorillamedia.co.nz. That's gorilla like a soldier, not gorilla like a And also, incidentally, the finneyeastwoodshow.com with Will.
Say hi to me on Facebook if you want, William Daniel Ryan.
Exactly. Both Will and Vinny are up on Facebook. And that was a fun 2 hours. We'll have to do it sometime again in the near future. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Hey, cheers. Great to be with you, eh?
Well, all right, again, Jamesy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely come back soon. We're out of here. Chrissy from Truth Brigade coming up next right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.